I thank the Lord for his good providence that has allowed us to meet together, not face to face, as I am standing here in our auditorium, and I look around to the places where I know you usually sit, Valerie and David, and over here Bill and Sherry Horton, and Mac and Becky about halfway back, and AB all the way to the back, Ken and Robin, and all of the others that are scattered here in this building. I know that that you are tuned in, you're listening, you have a desire to hear of God's word. Thank you, Crystal, for playing these great hymns. I want us to be reminded of that, the last hymn that you just played, and how fitting it is. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is his faithfulness. I drove up this morning, and how different my coming into the church's parking lot. There was not a vehicle out there at all, not one. I came into this church building, this public meeting place where the church usually meets on Sundays, and the building was empty as well. And as I was driving up and as I walked into this building, I was thinking, this shall also pass. But at the same time, I want you to know there is going to come a time when the Lord has called his church to himself and he's raptured his people to himself, that the church parking lot will be empty. The places of worship will be empty. And then it will be too late to find the mercies that are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning's sermon, I want you to open the Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew, I want to begin to read in verse 24. The title to the sermon is Anxiety and the Kingdom of God. It was a couple of 3 weeks ago that I believe on a Sunday night that we spent here in this portion of Scripture. But I believe that it is again profitable to us for us to take a closer look at this portion of Scripture. Matthew chapter 6, beginning to read in verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is it not the life more than meat, and the body than the raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither they gather into barns. Yet have your heavenly Father feeded them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you can, by taking thought, can add one cubit of his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all of these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. And we know that wherever there are two or three that are gathered in your name, you've promised. Lord Jesus, you said, I will be in their midst. And Lord, I know there are many in our church family who are not gathered here in this physical building, but they're gathered throughout. And we do pray, Lord, that as we are opening your word, that you would take your word and so use it to feed our souls, strengthen our faith. Enable us in these times of the coronavirus, enable us to point to you. You are the creator, you are the sustainer, and you are the savior. And may your Holy Spirit so work mightily in the hearts of all, believers and unbelievers alike, that we may see the glory and the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, our Lord and our Savior. And we pray in his name. Amen. This portion of Scripture is found in the Sermon on the Mount. And I want to just simply say, who's the preacher here? It's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. What are his credentials? The Lord Jesus Christ has always been from the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and Omega. There hasn't been anywhere that he has not learned anywhere, gone to school and been instructed by anyone. And I thought it very fitting that we would take from what we would call the red letter in the Bible, the Lord Jesus speaking himself. He has the credentials. He is the preacher, and he is the one who is instructing us this day. And I want to say, when I come to the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, we read in chapter 7, verse 25, where the Lord Jesus himself is saying, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which builds his house upon the rock. Who is saying that? It is the creator, it's the sustainer, it is the savior, it's the Alpha and Omega, it is the true and the living God, it is the Lord Jesus Christ who is saying, listen to what I am saying. And if you are listening to my sayings, I will liken unto him as a wise man which built his house up on a rock. And then it says, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat up on that house, and it fell not, for it was founded up on the rock. And then he says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house up on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat up on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them not as one having authority, and not as one of the scribes. So I want to say to you, wherever you are, I know there are some of you listening over in Germany, and I want to say to you, guten Tag. There are some of you that are listening in other parts of the United States. I welcome you to this live stream sermon. And those of you that are members of Calvary Baptist Church, I am glad that the Lord has given us this ability. It's not the same as being face to face. It's one thing about preaching. Preaching is a two-way thing, even though the preacher is the one who does all of the talking. But yet at the same time, there's communication back that comes from the faces of people. You can tell when the Word of God falls on ground that has been plowed up by the Holy Spirit. You can tell when people have an appetite to eat God's Word. You can tell all of that. The eye contact, the being together as the church is a marvelous and wonderful thing. And yet at the same time, for a season that we believe that it is good for us to abstain from gathering more than 10 people in order for the coronavirus to have some brakes put on it, and that this virus will not spread as it has spread in other countries. I want you to know that how glad I am that we do know, and we'll get to our passage here in just a second. Isn't it good to know that we are in the hands of a sovereign God. Isn't it good to know that we know that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, all things. And I mean, that includes coronaviruses. When I think about the history of the church, I got online yesterday and I looked up the 10 pandemics that we had in the history of mankind since about right before Christ. There are many of these things that have had its path in history, and there are many of them that have taken the lives of 5, 10, 20 million people and wiped out communities. And so I want you to know, this is not the first time that we are dealing with this. And God's people in that time, they recognize and realize we are in the hands of a sovereign God. And we know that we are safe and secure in his hands. Isn't that a great thing to know? That I am in my Father's hands. And he's the one that governs, he rules, he leads, he guides. He is our Heavenly Father. Even this portion of Scripture that we just read, when we think about our Heavenly Father, how he tends to those who are anxious over particular things. Isn't it good to know? The Lord has not left us to ourselves. Those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's given us the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Isn't that good to know? And when you think about it, how the Holy Spirit lives within us, and of course, the Word of God tells us he is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Isn't it a good thing that when he lives within us, he makes himself known? At times he reproves us. At times he brings about a sense that, no, that's not right. But there are times where he comforts us and he makes his presence known in a real particular way as he applies his word to our life as we live our lives here on this side of eternity. I want you all to know, and I don't have to repeat that, but no doubt these are difficult and trying days. I believe that we can say that in our lifetime, we have not seen anything that comes close to this pandemic of the coronavirus. Think about it. Nationwide, literally nations and nationwide, our nation, as you look around the globe, there are nations who had before with open borders, the United Europe, for instance, they come to the place and said, we're closing our borders. There is no coming and there is no going. Shut the doors of business. As you think about it, big business has closed their doors. Sports franchises have closed their sports activities. Casinos, can you imagine? Casinos closing their doors where they don't have the gamblers come in. Can you imagine that? It's unimaginable to think. Restaurants and travels, manufacturing factories and schools and university. By the way, I want to say Abigail and Hallie, welcome back home. I know where you usually sit, or you sit over here, but I know that you have left your school. The school year is pretty much done except for the work that you're going to do online. When you think about it, all has come to a standstill. The stock market, for instance, has in the last 2 weeks lost trillions of dollars. I can't even wrap my mind around how much money that these people have lost on the stock market. Trillions. I don't even know how much a trillion is and how many zeros there is on that. But when I think about it, that here are those things that people have so covered that they embrace the riches, gone, literally gone. There are empty shelves in the stores, shortages of basic medical supply, churches closed. I got a call this morning from Birgit Alsdorf. Birgit Alsdorf, if you're listening, she was telling me, I said, Birgit, how many people can assemble themselves in Germany? And she said, not over 3. Now, of course, families that have more than 3 people in their families, they're exempt from that. But can you imagine that they say no more than 3 people in a crowd? I talked with Harry. He texted me this morning. And he asked me, he said, I'm trying to get online and watch the the streaming of the sermon, and I wrote him back and I said, son, you're going to have to wait a little bit. And I gave him the time, and then he wrote me back, he texted me back, and he says, how many people are going to assemble here at Calvary Baptist Church this morning? I told him, I said, counting myself, nine more. And so when I look around, I bless the Lord for those of you that are here. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then we left the door open just in case somebody in the providence of God would enter into our doors. We would say, have a seat. You're welcome to be here. Think about it. It is not just an American emergency. It was the president that said there's an American emergency, but this is a worldwide thing. I don't know whether you all have been looking at the map. It doesn't make any difference. If you turn on the television or if you listen to the radio news or if you get online, I don't know where you get your news, but the number one story is in our community, in our state, in our nation, and around the globe, the number one thing is coronavirus. And everybody has that on their mind. There are some people that are, I know that they're concerned about the fact, I wonder, will it come knocking on my door? We are at the place where we're walking around with disinfectant materials. I brought this. My wife sent this with me right here. And this is not an advertisement for these sanitizing things. But she said, I want you to take that. And then she had a bottle of some other stuff that she wanted me to wipe my hands and all of that. But people are concerned. And I think people are at the place, all people are at the place, because of what has taken place in our nation, in our world, as we watch Italy and Germany, as we watch Iran, as we listen to all of the nations around the globe, that we recognize and realize this is a real problem. And no doubt, we are, in our minds, concerned about it. I wonder, will it come and visit me and my family? How will I respond? And when I think about how the world has responded for the first time, and I have told our church member that a few days ago, as I watched the news on the national news, every day we have the special task force on television. You have President Trump. You have all of the people who are part of the task team to address that. For the first time in years, I have seen in people who are usually very confident and very bold, for the first time I have seen there is a real concern that we are dealing with something that is completely out of our control, and there is a sense you pick up of a helplessness, that people have come to a place of helpless and being helpless, and that the Lord would say to us that evaluate, believer, brothers and sisters in Christ, and stop and recognize and realize, yes, anxiety or anxiousness and fear is part of the human makeup. It is. You can't get away from the fact. And that includes Christians and non-Christians alike. At the same time, and you've heard me say over the years, that the Christians, they don't use the word, I am worried. Christians use the sanctified word that says, I am concerned. Now, let's be honest. Let's get all of that out of the way. No doubt in our minds, there is, you see, fear and anxiety. The portion of scripture that we read just a moment ago, where the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples and he's saying to them, as they are concerned about food and clothing, as they are concerned about their life, as they are concerned about the fact, what are we going to put on and what are we going to eat and where are we going to be? And he is addressing that and he's giving them a reminder whose hands they are in. I looked up that word, anxiety, in Webster's Dictionary. It is a feeling of worry nervousness or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Worry, concern. There's an uneasiness, a fearfulness. There's agitation. In English, we even use the word angst, which I believe is the same word as what we use in the German, angst. Angst, there is a fear, tension. There is stress. There are all kinds of stuff that we can say is part of that. And I want you to know God's people are not exempt from that. But yet at the same time, the Lord has given us his word whereby he addresses those things which are there, a reality for all of us. Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, we're affected by that. And the portion of scripture that we read is a reminder to us of our Father's care, our Father's provisions, the stability of the kingdom of God, and the all-sufficiency of our Heavenly Father that is intimately acquainted with all of our emotions. When I looked at this passage, and I read it last night, yesterday when I started working on it, there were four times there is this word that stands out. Look with me there. In verse 25, there is that word, therefore. Do you see that? Therefore. And then there's another word in that same verse that says, take no thought. In verse 30, we read, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Okay? The third time that we see that word, therefore, is in that verse 31. Wherefore, take no thought. Therefore, take no thought. And then we see it one more time in verse 34. Take, therefore, no thought for tomorrow. I looked that up in the German. It's very interesting. Therefore is darum. Therefore is warum. And therefore, darum. And take therefore, darum. It has to do with the fact, for that reason, consequently, because of that, on that ground, to that end. You see, the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples to say to them, I don't want you to fear or to be anxious because of the very fact you need to realize whose hands you are in and who is providing and taking care for you. So that first therefore in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is it not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? I want you to know it. Listen to me. The only people who are truly experiencing what life is are God's people. Those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you what they base their living on. They base their living on what I have and what I can get. They base their living on all kinds of things. But you and I, you see, you and I, we live and have our life, and we know because it has been given by God, we know that every breath that we have is a gift from him, and all that we need comes from him. And then he gives us an illustration of that. He's saying, therefore, and then he says, look at the birds. I was driving over here this morning, and over on Highway 51, there was some crows. I was one crow in an old tree, and he was sitting up there, and as I was driving by that crow, I was thinking about this portion of scripture. And I'm thinking about the very fact, I wonder if that crow is concerned about the coronavirus. What do you think? I'm telling you what, the Lord is taking, he says, watch the birds. Look at the birds. And then when we are concerned about this thing, this pandemic that potentially could reach millions of people, the Lord is saying to us, life is more than food and clothing. He said, watch the birds because I take care of the birds. Have you ever seen Bob Cruz, a crow out there with a mini plow and he's plowing? and he's sowing seeds. And then a few months later, the whatever he's sowing, it comes up, and then the other crows, they come and harvest it, and they put it in barns. Have you ever seen that? No, we've not ever seen that. And you see, the Lord will say to us, look at the birds. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And I want to say, congregation, those of you that are sitting at home, can you say yes and amen to that? It is God that takes care of us. He's the one that feeds us. We're in his hands. We belong to his family. The Lord Jesus Christ is our elder brother. He's our Lord and our Savior. And God, our Heavenly Father, loves us because he loves his Son. And we are in his hands. The second, therefore, or wherefore, we find is in the verse 30. He says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? You say, where am I going to get my clothing? I know there's been times that some of us, and you've faced our times, there are people who are presently losing their jobs. Christian people are involved with that. There are people who have been saving for their retirement year in, year out. The stock market, the bottom fell out from underneath it. And I don't think that we're at the bottom yet. And you're saying, I'm saying, oh, Lord, I've been saving all of this money for years and years and years for a retirement. And Lord, how can I eagerly anticipate to that? Where's the next meal going to come from? What are we going to put on our bodies? The Lord is saying to us, not only look at the birds, but look at the flowers. What do you think? Do we take time, and it's springtime, wonderful time, when everything is budding out and Easter lilies are blooming? It was a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday morning. Our five-year-old granddaughter, Reese, she had a handful of the little purple, tiny little things that grow out here in this churchyard. A little plant that's not over an inch and a half tall, period. There are acres all over our country right now that kind of purpley, a purpley-looking flower. So she picked them things up, and she said, Mama, look what I got. And she said, Papa, I got something for you. So she gave me a couple of them, and I was already in the car. She handed it through the window, and I put it aside. When I got home, I got a glass of water and put them little flowers in that. And I mean, a week later, them little tiny flowers were still going. And I want to just simply say, is that? And so I asked the question. It was the following week that I asked the question, what are these things? And somebody said, they're weeds. Unkraut. This is unkraut. I want you to know, when he says, look at the birds. They don't sow. They don't harvest. They don't put nothing in your barns. Look at the flowers, how the Lord clothed even the weeds and those things that we would count as weeds. I mean, the tiny little flower. And he's saying to us, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? What do you think? Coronavirus? Are we arrogant? Or are we looking at that with a faith where we say, there is nothing to know. We respect all that there is. We do use infectants. We do say we're going to watch how we come in contact with each other. But I want you to know, we know that our Lord will take care of us when it comes to food and when it comes to clothing. The third, therefore, that we find in this portion of Scripture is in verse 31. And when he's saying, therefore, take no thought, saying what we shall eat or what we shall drink, Wherewith shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. What I find interesting about this portion of Scripture here is this, is that the therefores and the wherefores that are there, but every time in this passage of Scripture we see, and that he says, take no thought. Look at verse 25. Take no thought. Look at verse 27. Which of you by taking thought? Look at verse 28. And why take you thought? Verse 31, take no thought. Verse 34, no thought. What is he saying here in this? I think he's saying here to us is that anxiety and fear and all of that comes when we begin to concentrate on something and we're thinking about it. He said, I don't want you to give it any thought that these things are in my hand. I'm the sovereign God. And I will watch and I will protect you. And then he gives us a directive in all of that when it comes to whether it's food or clothing, whether it's what we put on our bodies, when it comes to our lives. But then he's saying, but I want you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then in verse 34, we see the fourth take, therefore. No thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Think about it. Therefore, take no thought. And I want you to know that I believe that what the Lord desires from his people, and I know we're concerned. We're concerned for our children, our grandchildren. We're concerned for our community. There is a concern, yes, we all have. But I want you to know our concern is not that we've lost our minds or somehow or another we disconnect ourselves from the true and the living God. Paul writes to the Philippians, he says, be anxious for nothing. And so with all of the things that we're concerned about, yet there is a stability about God's people that they are trusting themselves. And I want you to know this is what is needed in this very hour to a people who do not know the true and the living God. This is what the unbeliever needs to see in us when they will see how we respond to these things, that they'll come to the place and say, how come you can be so quiet about that? Have you stocked up? Have you hoarded all of this stuff? And that we can say, yeah, we've gathered some things. We don't want to run short of this and that. But I want you to know we're in the hands of a sovereign God. He's the one that loves us. He's the one that keeps us. He's the one that will protect us. And he is the one who has made us members of the kingdom of God. So on one hand, we look at everything that happens that comes about to the human breast and the concern that people have, and yet on the other hand that we can say, I'm in the hands of a king. I'm a member of his kingdom. And all things that he does is right. Don Stewart, in a study of the Sermon on the Mount, he takes those four particulars and he says, worry is needless. Look at the birds. Worry is futile. I want to ask you something. With all your worry, have you ever been able to grow an inch? You say, man, I wish I was taller. Short man, be short. And he looks at everybody else around him like a giant, and he's worried about his height. Let's worry about it. Maybe I'll grow. I want you to know, and worry, nobody is going to add an inch to his stature. Absolutely not. The third thing he says, worry is faithless. When we start worrying, we're taking God, and it is an unbelief. The Lord Jesus rebuked his disciples on many occasions when he rebuked them as that, oh ye faithless, you're faithless. when he says in this passage of scripture. And then he says, worry, and I like this particular point, worry is that which belongs to the Gentiles, to the unbeliever, the pagans. Worry doesn't belong to God's people. Those who don't know him, they are worried about that. In conclusion, I want to say to you all, brothers and sisters in Christ this morning, we have been praying for a number of years. I know I have. Many of you have been praying for revival and a spiritual outpouring, a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon our society and upon our world. We've been praying, Lord, will you send a revival? Lord, will you bring a great spiritual awakening? I wonder if the Lord, could we not come to the place and say, the Lord has heard our prayers? I wonder if the Lord is not listening to us, and with the coronavirus is sweeping across the land, and he's showing the people in our nation and around the globe how weak and how frail they are, and how helpless they are in a thing that they cannot even see. And then here we are, God's people, and then we would say, God's people are there that would direct the path and the way to the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what the Lord Jesus said when he said, I'm leaving you where I'm going, I cannot come. I go prepare a place for you. And he said, and the way you know. And then Thomas said, we don't know the way. And I'm so glad that Thomas is in the Bible, because you see that he displaced the humanity. When he said, Lord, we don't know the way. Then the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so I want you to know, we need to direct people to the Lord Jesus. Folks, there is something that is more serious than the coronavirus. And that seriousness that we are dealing with, that mankind is dealing with, is exactly that each and every man comes into the world a sinner. And each and every one of us, I want you to know, the Bible tells us, it is appointed upon man once to die, and after that, the judgment. I want you to know the coronavirus is something that people ought to be concerned about, but they ought to be more concerned about, if the coronavirus visits me and takes my life, how about then, how will I stand and appear before Almighty God? And so I stand before you this morning, and I would say, let's warn people of the very fact that each man has a plight, and that plight is a sinful nature that he inherited from his grandfather Adam. And we cannot escape that. A pardon outside of Christ, there is a promise that there will be death, there will be spiritual death, there will be everlasting separation from God. There is a place that is called heaven and hell. There is a heaven to be gained and hell to be shunned. And I want to direct you to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And that's where that portion of Scripture, I believe, that we can apply that without stretching it, when he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Those of you that are outside of Christ, you're not believing. I want to say, by the grace of God, that you are confronted with the fears of this virus, but yet at the same time you are confronted with the fact of your own frailty, how weak and frail you are, and you're not able to handle any of that on your own. I want to say, look to the kingdom of God, and seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and seek the king who is the king, who is the head of that kingdom. He is a merciful and gracious Savior. And I want you to know, it is a solid kingdom. And look to King Jesus, who has destroyed sin, the devil, and has satisfied the holy demands of God's law. Oh, dear friend, there's going to come a time that the Word of God tells us that every knee shall bow, that at the name of Jesus, every knees should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess, every tongue should confess. Those who have lived, all who have lived before us, yellow, red, and black and white, wherever they are, whatever nationality, that everyone who has ever come and lived in this world, their knees shall bow before King Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, that every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. How about you know we need a Lord in our day? We need King Jesus. In times like these, we need a Savior. Bow before him. Go and run and flee to him in your fear and your anxiety with all that's going on. Run to him. You say, where is he? Is he up here in the front? We don't even have an altar call. Where is he? I point you to him. He's in the heavens. The Lord Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father making intercession for us. And the Lord Jesus, one of these days, will call his bride, his church to himself. And when it's all done, when history is done, every knee shall bow. And every tongue will confess. Oh, Lord, would you not bend the knee of many during these days? I urge you, wherever you are, you've got loved ones, you've got relatives, we've got neighbors, we've got co-workers, we have people all around us that we know that are outside of Christ and they are concerned about the coronavirus. But oh, I want you to know, I'm not concerned so much about the coronavirus as I'm worried and concerned about the fact of those who are not in Christ. They are in peril paths. One of these days, they're going to have to stand and appear before the all-seeing eye of God. And I want you to know, this day will bear witness that you have heard the truth. Oh, run and flee to the presence and call up on his mercies. And call up on him in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come and we bow before you this morning. I thank you for your mercies that are found in Christ. Oh, we thank you for the therefores in Matthew chapter 6. May we lay it to our hearts. Enable us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things that we are so at times concerned and anxious about will come together, will take care of itself. And we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Crystal, could you play that song, Come Ye Sinners, Weak and Weary?